We're not opening with hello there. We're opening with the champ is here. A very special edition of Cleveland Browns Daily kicks off with the UFC heavyweight champion of the world, Stipe Miocic. Stipe, I mean, it was 3 years ago you were in this very studio with me on your way up about to fight Junior Dos Santos, and now you return to Cleveland as the UFC champion. What a ride. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm just happy to be here.
I'm sure. So what's it been like for you? Like, I mean, your life literally changed in an instant with that punch when you knocked out the champ and became the UFC heavyweight champion. What's it been like since then?
It's been nothing but crazy, like a good crazy. You know, it's a good problem to have. A lot of media, a lot of running around you, but, it comes with the territory.
One of the first things you said was, Cleveland, we have a champion, baby. And since you've come back, you've been with the Cavs, you've been with the Indians, now with the Browns. But why is Cleveland so important to you?
I just love the city, man, and just the people here. You know, it just we're hard-nosed people. We're blue-collar. We're awesome. We've got each other's backs for loyalty.
And I did something similar. You know, I'm from Lorain. I'm a West Sider. So when I won a national championship, and the first camera that showed up in my face, I'm like, Lorain, we did it. We got a championship.
That's awesome. Now,
and it was sort of premeditated. I thought about, hey, you're either going to win or you're going to lose. You know, you have an opportunity to do it or you're not going to have an opportunity to do it. So was that something kind of premeditated in the back of your mind resonating with you leading up to the fight that, yes, there is a vacancy from a championship standpoint here in Cleveland, and if I get it, this is what I'm going to do?
Not really. I didn't really think about doing it. I just kind of just went with it. But
sure.
I wanted it for the city. You know, like we deserve a championship, and it's gonna start bringing more championships here. And I gotta give a shout out.
I mean, it's crazy. I don't know if you know, but Believe Land, the ESPN 30 for 30 premiered that night.
Yeah.
And it was about kind of the shortfalls of Cleveland sports, and then later that night you go and win the UFC heavyweight championship, which is the most prestigious title in all of mixed martial arts, which has become a massive thing, obviously, as you know, you're doing this whirlwind media tour. But, you know, just for Cleveland, and I was downtown. I was with one of your good friends, Mark Monaco. We were out downtown at the Harry Buffalo. And, I mean, the place just erupted, and you went out in the streets, and people were fired up. It was definitely on Cleveland's mind. What does that mean to you to know that, you know, this is a city that's had such tough luck, and you helped – you know, in your way to kind of break that championship curse?
Amazing. You know, funny about you saying, you know, the Believe in and stuff like that. Actually, I have a picture on my phone that shows me on top of them after I dropped them. It says 2 minutes and 16 seconds, 216, the area code,
right?
216. Believe in play that night. And a lot of people said it snowed the next day, and they said hell froze over.
It did.
It was crazy. And it said 2016, you know, it just all this stuff. And it was just, you know, it's almost surreal. You know, it's kind of weird, you know, and it's kind of freaky at the same time. Scares me a little bit. But, that's amazing. It's just, man, amazing.
Yeah, and so walk us through, again, I am not a wrestling connoisseur. I stay in tune to UFC. I'm definitely in tune to you. But what's next, both short term, meaning where are you heading, you know, from here, any obligations that you have? And then what's next professionally? Who is the next guy, or who's going to be the guy that pipes off on Twitter,
right,
Instagram, or somewhere that they want a piece of you?
I was supposed to go out to New York and Toronto here the next 2 days, but that, you know, I'll do that this next week. Thank God for that. But then I'm going to ESPN also and doing a car wash out there and doing all the shows out there. So that's about it. And then a few other things like in Vegas to do eventually. Long term, I'm going to keep that belt, so I'll be fine. I'll be fine. It looks like Oscar Overeem. He's the next guy up, which is, you know, fine with me. You know, it's a good matchup for me. I mean, I'll match up well with everyone. So, you know, everybody at the table, I'm gonna beat him. I'm gonna keep the belt. So I like having the belt.
I know you do.
Yeah. So what was it like? Take us through that night, because you go out there, you're in Brazil, you're in Werdam's home country.
Yeah.
So you are hated. As I heard the story, you were doing some training and people were chanting like, "We hope you die," basically.
Yeah.
Down there in Brazil.
Well, yeah, I was in a huge soccer stadium. It was amazing. It was amazing soccer stadium. It was 45,000 Brazilians. You know, and it was the longest walk. Not just saying like, it took time. It just was a long walk to get to the cage.
It
was just long. I had to go this way and then go through this way. And it was this long tunnel I had to go through. And, you know, and the lights came out and all here's a booze. And they started in Portuguese. I always forget how to say it, but it means you're going to die in Portuguese. And they're all
They were wrong. You don't need to remember how to say it.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're walking out there, man. And, you know, I'm nervous, but, you know, I'm I have the best coaches in the world, you know. And so I was confident, you know. But I was still nervous. But, yeah, then, you know, like, went out there and just did my job, you know. I I'm better than that.
All right, so round one is typically, these can go five rounds, kind of like a feeling out period, right? I mean, I know there are a lot of early knockouts, and you certainly had one at the 2 minute and 16 second mark, but it looked like you guys were kind of feeling each other out with some kicks here or there. Then all of a sudden, he's charging at you. What was going through your mind? And just take us through that, the punch landing, and what kind of was happening in your mind.
He was a lot quicker than I thought, but maybe that's because he was chasing me. Or actually not chasing me, but running after me. And I was just angling off. And actually, right before he started to really chase me, before I dropped him, I hit him with a good right hand. I stunned him. I know I did. I knew I hit him hard. And I knew he was wobbly a little bit. And so when he started chasing me, I think he was just trying to get his bearings back and come after me. And that's when I just, quick step to the right and just a quick punch at the end. And, he was, face down, butt up.
not a good place to be when you're fighting.
So, it went well for me. And and then after that, I just, I ran to my coaches and, wanted to thank them. I knew I was going to do that. That was that was one thing I wanted to do because the reason I'm there is because of them.
So if you go back, your previous fight, you knocked out Arlovski. You go and you tell Dana White, give me my shot. I deserve my shot. You get it. You win. What did Dana White say to you after that fight?
He gave me a call and just wanted to grab. He wasn't there. He called me a day later, 2 days later, and, want to thank me, congratulate me, did a great job, and, that he was real proud, and what he's supposed to do, and he's just a super nice guy, and so he's like,
well, you're like, I told you, man, yeah. We could have done this months ago.
No, I didn't do that. He's my boss, so right. Nice about it, but he just congratulated me, actually, and Lorenzo, too, they were thanking me, and they said, you're going to be new a lot of media, if we're going to, really, do your victory tour and stuff like that, and he was like, then we'll sit down and talk again. I said, okay, great, sir, thank you, and that was it.
Did you ever think when you started out that you would get to this point and that it could go from something that was, it obviously an all-consuming career, but you mentioned I could have been a firefighter. You mentioned that earlier. What am I doing out here? But to something that this is not only going to be, you've reached the pinnacle of your profession, but now you have an opportunity to keep it for a long time, and this could be, you make a lot of money doing this as well, become a main attraction. Is that ever something when you first started training and getting into mixed martial arts that you thought that you would do?
Yeah, I mean, when I started training, I make it to the UFC. I knew if I was gonna make it to the UFC, I was gonna be a champion. I worked too hard at this, but the reason I love training so much is that I just love doing it, staying in shape, and like just having something to do. Because if I didn't train, I'd be going out having fun all the time and just getting in trouble. But I like now I train. I'm tired. I go home. But everything I do, I want to give my 100%, my best at it, and worked out well for me.
That's awesome. And Nathan kind of hit on a great point. And as I mentioned, you watching practice, I have young kids. I coach them, and now there's all kinds of things about youth sports where they should focus on one sport, play every sport. Walk me and walk us, the Dog Pound, through your background. What sports did you play? When did you, really kind of hone in on mixed martial arts? What led you into mixed martial arts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a typical jock. I mean, I did everything. Baseball, football, wrestling, soccer, swimming, bowling. I did whatever I could, And then I got to high school, just wrestling and baseball, and college baseball and wrestling. And then when I got done, I was going back to school to become a firefighter paramedic, and I was training in the gym just to make money, driving, gas money and food, and da-da-da. And a guy that went to the gym was friends with Dan, the Bull Bobish, and asked me if I'd help him wrestle for him, get ready for his fight and get him in shape. I said, yeah, no problem, and I just never left the gym.
So wow. You were just helping, so you were going to be a sparring partner for somebody, and now yep. You're the UFC heavyweight champion.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. Getting punched in the face.
That's a Cleveland story.
That's pretty crazy.
Serious, not like, they're like, yeah, you're going to fight. I'm like, yeah, getting punched in the face is not really my thing. I was like, I got a beautiful face. I'm going to keep this thing.
Exactly.
I got hit. I was like, it ain't that bad. And so then I was hooked.
You're hooked.
Yeah.
And this is a pretty big year for you. You've won the UFC Heavyweight Championship. You're getting married this summer.
Yes.
Kind of a whirlwind 2016. What could be better? What could come next?
Winning the lottery, I guess. I mean, that'd be great, I'm just blessed to have such great people around me, great, family and friends, and my coaches especially, and my teammates. We all have each other's back, and that's all I care about. I love my family, and that's the main thing. That's all I care about.
Do you get a little time to celebrate? I don't know what the cycle is for fights, and we don't know yet who the number one contender for your title is, but do you get some time to kind of celebrate before you go into training? Because I imagine when you're in a camp, that's all you're eat, breathe, sleep it, right?
I still train. I like to stay in shape all the time.
Sure.
Just because you never know. But yeah, I go out and have fun. You know, I don't go out like every weekend or like that. You know, maybe once a week we'll have a couple of cocktails here and there.
Sure.
But yeah,
I love that. Good.
Yeah,
well, you I'm, live.
I mean, I love it. It's fun, you know. And you know, we get all our friends. People come over. We have lovely people over at the pool, the hot tub. We have a good time. But yeah, I mean, like on Monday we came home. We came home Monday morning and saw my mother. You know, cried my eyes out. You know, and then she went back home. She lives like 40 minutes away. And then my fiance's parents live like 5 minutes away. So they came over and I made my future mother-in-law made me sauce.
So, nice.
Yeah, she made me sauce. And then I had a bunch of family come over. We ate. We were having a couple cocktails. And we went to the bar. And then all the rest of my friends from the area came up. And we all hung out for a couple
the
hours.
The Victory
it
cigar.
Was, it was awesome. Yeah, and I had my Victory cigar. Yeah, Mark, I made him do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, good.
He took to his words. So it worked out well.
That's awesome, man. I'm just so happy for you. It's such a great story. And to see you kind of come up, represent the city of Cleveland. And to go from some, I mean, I didn't know that part, but to go from somebody who just went in there to spar with a guy in training to now being the UFC heavyweight champion, what a remarkable story.
Yeah, honestly, I just appreciate you guys having me on. This is amazing.
You got it, man.
It's great.
Great to meet you.
Check out the practices and get to talk to you guys.
Yeah, so what, you've hit home runs with the Indians.
Yeah,
you were at last night and helped, you know, fired up the crowd wearing a Delly jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Yesterday at the Cavs, and then here you are with the Browns today.
Yeah, it was amazing. You know, I never felt so small, but it was a good time.
Those are tall. Those are big guys.
I couldn't sleep. I was like, wow, it's a lot, you know, just pretty big.
Yeah, but you know what? You could whoop them all.
Oh, yeah. They're big dudes. I'm not going to take that chance.
Well, you are the champ. Steve Babe, thanks so much for being with us. Enjoy yourself, enjoy your time, and certainly congratulations, and thanks for representing the city of Cleveland so well in the Octagon.
Anytime. Thank you guys so much for having me on.
You got it.
Oh, our pleasure. What a great way to start the show. We've got a lot coming up. We're going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. Paul Kruger will be in studio. We're going to hear from RG3, Joe Hayden. Tons to get to today. And by the way, yesterday was Gibbs' birthday. Happy birthday,
Gibbs. Happy birthday,
Gibbs. Doesn't even tell anybody. Tries to keep it under the radar. Unbelievable. But all that and more on Cleveland Browns Daily here on ESPN 850 WKNR. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Jason Gibbs out in Berea today as well. So we got Matt Fontana on the board with us. We've got a lot lined up for you. It is going to be a loaded show, but, I mean, great way to kick it off. Couldn't be a nicer,
right, humble,
more humble guy. And that's a dangerous man. That is a
he's dangerous man.
He's
the baddest dude in the world right now.
Yes. Until somebody says otherwise, that is the baddest guy on the planet.
Yes.
You know, you wouldn't notice it. You wouldn't know it. Like, if you were at a bar and you're talking to him, you wouldn't be
Well, that's what was, if I had one more question was, you know, do you expect an uptick? Hugh Jackson at the podium. Let's hear from the coach.
Yeah, this is the right one. Hey, how you doing today?
Good. Oh.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Oh boy. How are you doing? How are you doing, sir? How's everybody doing today? I'm super fantastic. No, it was a good day today, especially off of coming off of yesterday, where we did something a little different for the first time in my career. We kind of split the teams and made sure we got more reps, and today brought them back together as one group. You know, I think it's it was really a good way to practice, you know, on Tuesday. And so guys could get more reps, and today to bring them back together, I think it was kind of a shock to the system on Tuesday, and today we winded them back down, and the guys have really responded, and they've done a tremendous job. It's just so exciting to get the players all out there on the field and practicing together and getting the feel for what your team looks like and what your team potentially could be in certain spots and places. And I think we've had two good days. We have another day to finish off phase three, you know, just start of phase three. And I think the guys are working hard, and that's what you want, you know. So, again, the guys have done everything I've asked. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but we don't need to be right now. But we need to work at it and pay attention to detail and be accountable to each other and make sure guys are doing the right things and coach them the way we know we have to in order to get them where we need to get them to be. And I think our guys understand there's a tall challenge ahead, but we're starting at the bottom. We're going to climb our way to the top, and we're just going to keep putting our head down and grinding through. Okay? What do we have today?
Are one of the assistants in charge of plugging in Al Saunders every night so he doesn't run out of there?
No, that's just kind of who Al is. Al is, he's all the way, you know, every practice, that's who Al Saunders is. And our players, our receivers, as you can see, there's some guys in that group that are really growing and getting better. And I think it's because of his tutelage and his ability to relate and get guys to play hard and understand what they need to do. And again, I think you see some guys emerging and getting better every day in every practice. So that's good.
Hey, does RG3 have some accuracy issues?
No, RG3 don't have any accuracy issues. No, he doesn't. Defense sometimes in the right spot. You know, when you're playing in a, as we play in a no huddle offense, you know, sometimes we say things and the team knows exactly where the ball is going. You hear it enough. You know, so no, I don't get that feeling. Can we do some things better? Yes, he can. I think we all can. I think every quarterback can. But I don't think he has accuracy problems.
When you're talking about some of the things that he can get better, what were some of the things in those situations that you were trying to instruct with Robert, just in terms of how he was handling some of the things out there, at least today?
All that is just communication. I mean, that's learning. I mean, a lot of these guys hadn't played in this offense that we as a staff has put together. So they're learning. I mean, again, this is day two of the OTA program, you know, and we have a long way to go. So there's still a lot of new and foreign words to our guys, and they will pick them up as they go. And again, it's how you communicate things. That's all that all the quarterbacks, I think, today, and I think our whole offensive unit is different for them. So again, we'll get them to where they need to be. But again, like I said, for day two, of putting in as much stuff as we've put in on these guys, I think they've done a really good job.
What do you remember about, and it was 4 or 5 years ago, but your time with Desmond Bryant in Oakland, mm-hmm. and how have you seen, obviously you played against him, coordinated against him here with the Browns, your time with him and the player he's kind of evolved into?
Well, I think he's really grown. You know, he's more mature than what he was when I had him in Oakland. You know, he was really starting to become a really good football player. And I think, obviously, coming here for him was probably the height of his career, you know, where all of a sudden he started making a lot of money and having an opportunity to really be the guy. You know, and the defensive line he played with, there was a lot of other superstars, and so he learned from those guys. And now he's kind of the elder statesman amongst that group with some other guys, and so now he's trying to show those other guys the way. And, again, I think he's done an outstanding job. I think he's headed for a big year this year. And he's doing the things that our defensive staff is asking him to do.
When you say maturity, just typical young guy stuff? Or?
Absolutely. I mean, I just think everybody, when you're new into the National Football League, you're coming from, you know, a really prestigious school, there's a lot to learn. You know, I think that's on any player. And so not that he handled things wrong. I mean, he did exactly what I asked him to do when I was there before. But again, you said, where is he at from then till now? I see a more mature player who's a lot calmer, you know, who knows how to play this game, who knows the process of getting ready to play this game, and he works at it every day.
When you talk about your offense, is it more complicated than other offenses in the league where you're asking guys to understand stuff?
I don't know if it is. You know, I'm sure everybody has different phases, you know, of that they play and different tempos that they play in. You know, we just asked our guys to do things that we think it's going to take to win, you know, and so we just do it each and every day, and we get good at it. I don't think our offense is any harder than any others, but I think there's a different terminology that we use than what they've probably been accustomed to here in the past. So I think that takes time, you know, and that's not going to happen overnight, but I see our guys growing by leaps and bounds each and every time we walk out there because, again, we put a little more, and a little more, and we'll keep asking for more as we go through it because I think we have to give it all to them. So when we get ready to pare it down to when we get ready to play, they truly understand what's expected.
Hardline make a nice rolling.
I'm sorry?
Was it hard for you to part with a couple of your rookies for these practices to not have Cody and Corey?
Oh, yeah, very much so. You know, but they had a good day before they left. You know, they had a good day under their belt. And, you know, this is an NFL time for them. It's a rule. It's something that all the young men have to do. So, I mean, we've all been through this before, so I think we get it and understand this is something that's mandatory for them. So they go and, you know, they're part of the rookie premiere, and we get it. But we'll get them back, and they'll hit the ground running again.
Make a nice rolling catch. From the standpoint, we haven't heard you talk about him. You know, he emerged in the slot last year as a functional player. How are you seeing him now, how would you project his
role? I just see a bunch of guys competing, you know. And, again, like I said, it's so early. I mean, I know sometimes everybody think, you know, you put a guy out here at this point or this point that this is this guy's position. I don't look at it that way. I just think those guys are going to earn the right to play on this football team, all of them, you know. And Hartline's a pro. You know, he's been through it. He's had success. He knows how to play. And there's something to that. But at the same time, he knows each and every day he's got to go out and compete because everybody's trying to win a spot. And to me, that's what it's truly all about. It's about competing, and it's about earning a right to be a part of this football team.
Discuss some of the things that you specifically are looking for in terms of assessing how or where a quarterback's level of recognition is in the pocket, even at this stage, just things that you're looking for to instruct for the next practice, mm-hmm. the next practice.
Well, I'll go back and watch the tape, you know, because we do a lot of situational things, and then we'll see, you know, if from a footwork progression, getting the protection right, you know, if those things are done correctly. And if they're not, we'll make the adjustments, and I want to understand why they're not, you know, and then we kind of go from there. But it's all encompassing. There's a lot of things, you know, I think we all know that goes into playing quarterback, and there's a lot of pressure on those guys. Those guys are making sure everybody's lined up correctly. Those guys are making sure a snap count. Then there's a play they have to deal with, and then there's a rush that's coming at them, and then they got to deliver the ball accurately. And there's a lot of things that we have to look at. So it's not just one thing, you know. This is not just roll the ball out there, just throw it to that guy over there. There's more to it than that. And so we have a ways to go, but I see a lot of progress that has been made from the quarterback position, you know, not just Robert, but Josh, and so Austin and Connor and Cody when he practiced the other day. So everybody's at different levels. My job is to get them all up to speed to give them the best opportunity to compete, you know, as hard as they can, as well as they can. And that's what Pep and myself will do. And those guys, they take the challenge each and every day, and they go out there to lead the unit when they get their opportunities, and they got to make the most of it.
Where is Joe Hayden at? And I mean, how's he been progressing? Where's he at?
He's done an outstanding job. You know, he's walking in a shoe now, you know, so that boot's gone. He's not riding on that little trolley thing anymore. So I'm excited for him, you know, but he's worked extremely hard. As I said from day one, you know, Joe can't wait to get back out there with the guys, but he is, I think he's progressing well. There's still no timetable, but I think he's getting there, and it's going to be there hopefully sooner than what we all thought, because again, and the mind is something that's special, you know, and a guy really wants to be out there. He works extremely hard, and I think that's where he wants to be. So I think he'll be out there sooner rather than later.
You learned about the McCown that you couldn't have known from not having been around him until now.
From who?
McCown.
That he's a pro. You know, he's a pro. I mean, the guy's played for as many years as he's played. I mean, the guy knows how to play the game. I get that, you know, and he does too. And so he's done a good job, you know, and he's handled himself the way you expect a professional to handle himself. And every day he goes out there to work his tail off to have a chance to be on this football team. And again, he'll be the first to tell you, nothing's given, you know, everything's earned, you know, whether it's in the classroom or whether it's on the practice field, whether it's in the weight room, you know. So we're working, and that's all I'm concerned about right now. I know everybody wants us to, I mean, sometimes I feel like we all want us to cut the team and make decision who's on the 53. We don't play a game for a long time. So I get to evaluate these guys in the toughest conditions, because I'm going to put them in all kind of different situations to find out about them all, what they can do and what they can't do, and what I know I can trust and what they know they can trust. So it goes both ways, but we'll get there. But it's way too soon to be worried about some of the things that I think sometimes we're concerned about, talking about you all, because it's just too soon. I mean, you practice, you have two OTA practices. You know, there's still seven more to go. So we'll get there. Maybe by the end of it, ask me these great questions, and I'll have some answers for you. But I promise you, I won't anytime soon.
The following him is, how do you regard the fact he's going on 37?
He doesn't look like he's going on 37. Do I look like I'm going on 50-something? You know, I mean, he doesn't look like that. I mean, he takes care of himself, and he works extremely hard, and he's taking care of his body, you know, for a guy to play as long as he has. I mean, he's figured it out, what it takes, you know, to be out there year in and year out. And, I mean, he's a tremendous pro. I mean, again, you just said it, a guy that's going on 37 years old still competing with these young guys, that tells you a lot, you know. God's been good to him.
What was the impression with why'd you guys bring in Alvin Bailey? What was the thinking on him, and how has he, you know, looked in this short time he's been here?
He's done well. I mean, he's another guy who's played in a high level. Was at Seattle and done a tremendous job for them. Played left tackle, played right tackle, you know, can play guard. He has versatility. And so, you know, we're giving him an opportunity because he was a guy that was out there, and it was a position of need for us. And, again, he has a lot of the characteristics that we want in a tackle. And he's done a good job thus far. I mean, again, this is a new environment for him, playing an entirely different system. You know, this is not just zone right, zone left, where he came from and where that's what they did, and they did a great job of it. But he has that. But he also learned that there's a lot of other different ways of running the ball. And so I think he's a guy that is a tough guy and wants to do well. So we're going to give him an opportunity to see if he can do it.
How big of an unknown is Terrell Pryor, and what have you seen out of him? I mean, he's made a couple plays today. Mm-hmm. I know you had an exchange with him, but how big of an unknown, and what have you seen out of him at the receiving position?
Well, obviously, he's flashed. I mean, he's flashed the last several days. He really has. I mean, he's taken coaching, you know, from the best areas in Al Saunders and Bob Saunders, you know, and then I think, you know, he kind of knows the system. He's been around it a little bit, you know, so he knows what to expect, what to do, what not to do. And the biggest thing, I think, what he's done is he's settled down and understand this is really what I want to do, and I want to be good at it. And I'm athletic enough to do it. You know, what's my why? Why do I want to do this? Do I want to be great at this? Because my challenge to each and every one of these guys is to be great at what you do, not just be, you know, average. You know, it's to be great. And so he's working at it, and I think we all see it. I mean, I think he's, you know, growing every day and getting better every day, and that's all you can ask for.
To what degree do you find yourself, you know, sharing more of what you're seeing out there defensively with even just the quarterbacks based off of, you know, your different levels in your career compared to when you were in Oakland? Because I just remember how much you talked about you doing that with, you know, Andy Dalton as well in Cincy. And I'm just curious how much you find yourself even at this stage of phase three or what have you, just kind of sharing what you're seeing on the other side of the ball with your quarterbacks.
Oh, a lot. You know, because they have to learn how to play. There's certain keys and things you look for, things you have to see, you know, playing that position. And again, I think our guys are seeing the right things. You know, if I thought they wasn't, then I would be concerned. I think all of our guys are seeing the right things. There's going to be mistakes right now. You know, we don't want the catastrophic mistakes, you know, because again, that means we're not growing. Our guys are throwing, last time I checked, there's a bunch of touchdown passes thrown and ball strong deep and guys catching balls and balls getting batted down. That's football. You know, defense is going to win some. Offense is going to win some. This quarterback's going to do really good in this period, and he's going to do really good in that period. What I'm going to do is get the consistency throughout our football team. That's what I'm chasing as a head coach. The competition, what we need to do each and every day, going out there, how the quarterback position leads the whole team, you know, on top of the offense, how our linebackers and our front plays on defense along with our secondary. That is a huge key to our success as we continue to move forward. That being said, I'm not excluding our offensive line, because our offensive line is the key to any of our quarterbacks playing well. And I think we all recognize and understand that. But I think those guys are getting better each and every day. The communication's good. Cam is getting more vocal. There's a lot to this. It's not just the quarterback. There's a whole part of this, and we're working on it each and every day. There's not another group, in my opinion, that is working as hard as this group collectively to be as good as they can be. And some days, it's going to look spectacular. And some days, it's not. And when it doesn't, I'm going to find a way to flip it and get it back to looking like it should be. But I'm proud of these guys. I'm proud of the work ethic. I'm proud of what they do each and every day. I'm proud of when they walk in this building, how they come in here every day ready to compete and get better. Thank you for your time.
That's Browns head coach Hugh Jackson there. We'll have more from the podium today scheduled to come through. RG3, Joe Hayden, Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, also Paul Kruger going to be in studio with us here on CBD. We'll take a break, keep things going. 216-578-0850, the number to call up. You got comments on Stipe, on Hugh. A busy day here in Berea on Browns Daily. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Paul Kruger will be on his way up here shortly in the Dog Bowl in Berea. But Matt, we started off, we've heard from Stipe Miocic, the UFC heavyweight champion, and then Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson, it's funny. Stipe's the fighter, but Hugh Jackson was the one who seemed a little bit more in a fighting spirit.
Neither of them are taking any crap.
No.
Neither of them.
And I like that.
In two different ways.
I like that.
I just think, and it, my frustration wasn't by any means at all in Hugh Jackson. It's everyone wants answers. I got to know right now. And we are like so premature in this process.
Two practices.
You know, Hugh was hired 3.5 months ago.
Yeah.
Sashi Brown, you know, was, appointed his position, you know, a few
weeks.
In January. I mean, The draft picks, you know, everyone's just overhyping, you know, all these different layers that it is to build a winning product. Or to even to put 53 guys on a roster takes more than two practices. You know?
Right, like as a
player. Everyone's unhappy with how we've done things in the past, and yet they want an answer right now. Can we not have a competition? You know, you look at Philly at quarterback. You got Wentz, you got Bradford, you know. And I saw a Pro Football Talk article about Chase Daniel saying he just slowly raises his hand. Hey,
I'm over here.
I'll play quarterback. Can we just go out and do what we're paid to do? Play the game, practice the game, perfect the game. Why would we want to know who's going to be on our 53-man roster if we don't know who they are?
Right.
That's the blind leading the blind.
As a player, what could you know after 2 days of OTAs in a new system with a new coach?
If I were a player, to answer that you know directly, is I would know what my strengths are in this new scheme and what defenses I understand, you know, very, very well, and which ones I need to spend more time on my playbook.
Yes, and we're going to hear from those guys. Joe Haydon, by the way, at the podium now. We've got Paul Kruger coming up, so we'll bring that to you after Paul Kruger. But here's something that he just said, and I quote, "I think Coach Hugh is the best thing to happen to the Browns since I've been here."
There you go.
That's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah, and I know that Jason Gibbs would say, let me see some wins.
Let me see it. I want to see it. It's my birthday. I want to see it. By the way, what's up with Gibbs not even telling anybody about his birth?
Yeah, so my wife is – I have a Facebook account. My wife has a Facebook account, okay? I'm never on mine.
Me neither. I'm only on for birthdays.
My wife goes on all the time. She goes, oh, hey, text your buddy. It's his birthday. I'm like, I don't have time to remember anybody's birthday, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, and that's why in some cases I don't get butthurt if people don't text me happy birthday. It's not like, you know, you're not my friend anymore.
Great use of butthurt, by the way.
Well, thank you. And last night on the couch, she's just like, hey, it's Gibbs' birthday. I'm like, who Gibbs? She goes, Jason Gibbs. Like, Jason Gibbs, like our producer on our show? She's like, yeah. And so then I text Gibbs last night. I'm like, hey, I think I said, hey, a-hole, you know? I said, what's up with not sharing, you know, your birthday? Here it is right here. I go, yo, why didn't you say today was your birthday? Happy birthday, bro. Then he goes, LOL, thanks, man. No big deal. We had a loaded show, with a smiley face. And I go, well, hope you had a good day. He said, thanks, man. I said back, I'll buy you a beer, ... at your wedding. Ha. Then I said, good night. He said, LOL. He said, I still need your RSVP, by the way. And recall that he didn't put, like, where to put your name.
Right.
So I said, on the way soon, going to send it without our name as well. And, of course, he sent me back an explicit. Happy birthday, Gibbs.
Happy birthday.
Jeez.
I got to tell you. Yeah, seriously.
I mean, if you're not going to make yourself a priority, we will.
Yeah, we certainly will. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Our good friend Disco Puma goes, how come we haven't made the playoffs yet under Hugh? Fantastic. Great. Very fantastic comment there.
Seriously.
Yeah, you know, so what did you see out there today at practice? Anything that caught your eye in particular?
I learned a lot being out there at practice from a football standpoint that answers some questions, you know, to me personally, you know, that I think in some cases could be a competitive advantage, so I'm not going to say it. But, I mean, it's good things. It's diverse. And I think that, you know, they're working hard. And I think I love how involved Hugh is.
Incredibly involved is Hugh Jackson, and certainly a great asset to this team with the energy, the way they're practicing. And now we are very happy to be joined in the Dog Bowl by one of the stalwarts of this defense, Paul Kruger. Paul, how are you, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We're doing great. So how crazy is it for you to be back in the defense you were brought here to be in when you first came to the Browns?
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I mean, it's not only is everything familiar and everything is fluid, I feel like at this point in the year, but it's nice not to have to relearn something, you know,
for the
second or third time. So defense is I love the way we're gelling together. A lot of energy, so it's awesome.
And you know, Ray Horton, you know, a few years ago wanted you to come play in his defense. You were brought here to do just that, and now you get to do it again. So I imagine you know how you're going to be used,
right?
And you're probably pretty happy with that compared to how things have been in the past.
Yeah, for sure. Ray's I love playing for Ray. He's just a guy that lets guys go out and be themselves, and his defense is just very. Gives you a lot of leeway, and it also is once you learn the language, once you understand the philosophy, it's easy on the players. And so that's why I feel like we'll be able to play full speed. Everybody used to the best of their ability, and I'm excited to go.
And you talked about the scheme, you know, with Ray Horton, and you talked about the energy. And I think part of that energy, as it seems to us as outsiders, is brought by the assistant coaches, the staff that they've put together. They know his defense, and they're really coaching you guys and pushing you guys to the limit, but almost to a certain extent overcoaching you guys so that not only yourself as a vet, but some of the young guys can make the impact that they were brought here to make.
Right, yeah. You know, anytime you evaluate a good team, a successful team, and successful defenses, you got to have contributors at every level of the game. And so that includes rookies, that includes, you know, backups, that includes obviously the starters. So just like you're saying, I think they're putting everybody in a position to be an asset to the defense. And that's what makes me excited is there's nothing else involved besides getting our defense where we need to be and winning games.
What's this offseason been like for you compared to the others? Because, you know, we see, you know, Chud was here and then it was Pat and everything. It's new. It's great. Hugh Jackson, does it feel different to you? Yeah. How would you describe what's going on this offseason?
There's no comparison. I've never been a part of something like this. His energy level, his enthusiasm, his positivity, it's something that just lights you on fire every time you walk in the building. And it doesn't matter what what you feel like before you get here or whatever, you're going to have a good day. And it's because he just radiates that, and it's something that's
awesome.
It's just very it just rubs off on everybody. And I appreciate that about him. He's a really good leader, and he knows football. And then the biggest thing is he just understands how to motivate guys. There's just an element to that, to football, unlike any other sport. You need that motivation. You need those talks every, you know, you got to re-motivate each other all the time. And he's just so good at that. So I love that about him.
We just heard from Hugh Jackson, and we were actually just talking it as you were walking in. But just being out of practice and seeing Hugh make his way from every position group, you know, not all head coaches do that first and foremost. And then to vocalize and know the names and call a guy out on how they executed a certain drill, that's got to be refreshing to feel like you're not fighting for somebody, you're fighting with somebody.
For sure. No question. No question at all. I couldn't. You
that
said
was very
it the best.
Well said.
Yeah, yeah. For sure. Just one of those things. You slight bow there.
Yeah, a little.
Unless like, hey.
Toot,
sorry.
Touche. You know, I think you said it really well. I mean, what stands out to me the most is just, you know, every player is making his own strides and his own way, and Coach Jackson is just constantly reinforcing that we are the group, we are the team, you know, this is our year. And sometimes you can kind of kick against the pricks if you get in the wrong mentality. And
sure.
Whereas I feel like this year it's exactly the opposite. We're understanding how good we can be. We're putting pressure on ourselves to be the best. So that's it's very refreshing.
What's it like being with the rookies now, 2 days with those guys, and obviously Emmanuel Ogbuck, a new face in your room. What are your first impressions of him?
You know, he's being a good rookie. He's just quiet, keeps his nose clean. you know, but seems like a great guy. He's eager to learn. We've been talking a little bit about different things, but what I see from a football player standpoint, the guy is—he's explosive for how big he is. He can really turn the corner well. I see him as a really talented guy who I think has a huge upside. You know, he's going to be an impact player immediately. But I also think, you know, you look at that guy. He just reminds me of like a Great Dane puppy right now. You know, he's a guy in 2-3 years. He's going to be a hell of an impactful player for sure.
And also just being out of practice, you know, today, it looks offensively, how has it been practicing against RG3, you know, Duke Johnson, you know, and some of the formations that you saw out of Cincinnati Bengals and what Hugh Jackson is doing? It's got to challenge you guys on a daily basis as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have to think fast. You have to, you know, understand the checks and Coach Horton's done a great job of helping us understand that and helping us to relax under the pressure of seeing all these different looks. And so I think there's nothing better that can prepare us for the season than Coach Jackson's offense is as wild as it is. And, you know, and as chaotic as it looks at times, he's got a rhyme and a reason for everything.
Right.
And so we have to be able to match it by schematically match it, and also, you know, be able to think fast and adapt. And so I think it couldn't be a better thing for us to prepare for the season.
What's the biggest number of rookies you've ever had come in to a team before?
God, you know, I don't know.
Not 14.
I don't know.
What's that been like? And for, you know, you're literally one of the elder statesmen on this football team to have such an infusion of young guys coming in with a new coach, really trying to turn this culture around. It's someone like yourself who's a Super Bowl champion. You know what it takes to get there.
Yeah. I think it was very evident in Baltimore. I think it's a great way to structure a team is just, a lot of vets that can help lead the way. And then a ton of young guys like we have now that are talented, fresh, hungry for success in the league. So I feel like we're in a great situation to really, a lot of coachable guys, and a lot of good leaders to take the reins. I think right now is just ironing out all the details, putting it all together. And the positivity is just absolutely clear to me. I think everybody understands how good we can be this year.
Last question for me, and we know you got to get back to business, but and this is kind of like from a fan perspective. If I were in the dog pound or a Browns fan and I've been sold, trust the process, it's going to be different. And, in months leading up, if I were to attend a practice in training camp, what's the tangible growth, either mentally or physically, that Hugh Jackson has brought here that they're going to be able to see on the football field to kind of see and know and feel that the Browns are going to be different than they were in the past?
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, being an outsider looking in, to me, it would be the head coach. The guy just brings a passion and an energy level every day that is clear. It's different, and it's so refreshing because it's something that is needed, on a team. It's needed from a leader to be, a positive, vocal, passionate guy. And I think that has already rubbed off on pretty much every player. All the coaches are the same way. So. I think that's the biggest difference you would see is just, a man that knows how to lead a team and he's passionate about it and the energy level is at an all-time high and it rubs off on everybody. So, like I said, I think that's it. Yeah.
I think it'll be a lot different this year when people come out to training camp and see that. So your body is your currency at the end of the day, and they've made a huge investment here with the Browns and how they're doing the physical training and the performance aspect of everything. What's that been like for you, and how different has it been from anything else you've experienced having your own guy to work with the linebackers, et cetera?
Yeah. It's been an awesome experience. I think the main thing that I've noticed is exactly what you're saying. Just individual, by position, that's where the work is being put in. So my workout's different from Joe Hayden's, and Joe Hayden's is different from Joe Thomas, and it goes all around the board. And I think that makes the most sense to me. I mean, this is a very specific game. You're making specific movements at specific positions. So why not train that way? So it's not like that everywhere, and it hasn't been like that everywhere for me. But I've had a great experience with it so far, and I think, to me it just makes sense.
Do you think it's something that at this point in your career could extend your career as opposed to just working to work, but working to put it out on the football field, and you're gonna be healthier, and they're going to focus on what Paul Kruger needs, not what our football team needs?
Right. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I remember, and this isn't a reflection of any particular coach or anybody, but I remember, I think it was last year, we had three hamstrings get popped, first day of conditioning.
Yeah, like 15 throughout camp.
Yeah, it was bad. I mean, when you have a bunch of linemen, D linemen running 50, 60 yard sprints, I mean, there's only so many good things that can come from that if it's not in a game, practice situation. So,
sure.
I think it's great. I mean, I'm in shape and guys seem to be responding well to it.
Do you think you're faster this year because you're in shape or because you've shorn the locks now and you've trimmed down up top there?
I think it's just from being in shape. Yeah. Both. I've lost a little weight. These guys got me in shape, and so I'm feeling back to normal.
It looks like you guys are having fun out there, and I know you have a lot of fun on the golf course, but it's nice to have a lot of fun on the football field as well.
Yeah, it's just an electric group. There's a little saying I'm sure you guys have seen, the energy vampires, and that can come from any different direction. And we don't have any of those guys. There's
that's
nobody
great.
That's draining any positive, you know, positive energy out of the building. And so, you know, every day is a good day to be a Brown. I mean,
it's great.
Yeah, so we're excited.
I know he's on the other side of the ball, but have you ever seen anything like Al Saunders before?
Well, there was one guy. I don't know if you guys remember Coach Cullen.
Okay.
D-line coach. He was very excited, and he used to
run the field.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he wasn't as
That was with Chud?
Yeah, that was.
Okay.
But I don't know if Saunders may take the cake with it.
I mean, we keep saying we need to get him on the tracking. I want to see where he would
rank.
How
many miles he's got to do?
Yeah.
For sure.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Yeah. Well, Paul, thanks for coming in with us. Yeah. Glad to see everybody enjoying themselves, putting in hard work. And you can see the improvement in the energy, and I can't wait for the fans to be able to come out and see that at training camp.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right. Paul Krueger, the great Paul Krueger, our guest here. We'll be back with more from the podium on a very busy day here in Berea when CBD returns.